It's time for another installment of Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. It's a review of what we got done on our morning show, which it pleases me to share with you. You can hear every morning on Planet 93.9.
It's true.
The Quad Cities Real Alternative Radio. So here they are in no particular order. I mean, I guess they're in sequential order, but We don't mean to suggest that number one is our favorite or the best. Although I guess there's a 1 in 5 chance that it is.
We're not counting down to or counting up to number one.
No.
Counting down to number one. Counting up to number one?
We're not really. We're just counting.
We're just counting.
It's just counting. We'll get started with number one.
Number one.
Number one.
Number one.
I've never heard of this, but apparently this is something people do. When you're making eggs, let's say you're going to have yourself a delicious omelet.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you're making some scrambled eggs.
Mm-hmm. What would you put in an omelet if you, like, what are your key omelet ingredients?
I'm good with anything. If you,
you're probably somebody that does mushrooms and green peppers,
sure,
aren't you?
Sure, that'd be great.
Uh-huh. So you're making some omelets. You get your carton of eggs out. And what are there, a dozen eggs in a carton?
Typically, there's a dozen in a dozen. There's 12 in a dozen.
Okay. So what do you use, 2-3 eggs?
Three egg omelet. How about that?
Let's say you're really making a day of it here. So you crack the eggs open. What do you do with the eggshells?
What do I do with them?
Yeah.
Well, I probably would. I'd toss them in the sink to begin with.
In the sink?
Toss them in the sink to begin with, and then I would scoop them out of the sink and throw them away.
They go in the garbage.
Yeah, they go in the garbage.
Right. Apparently, there are a lot of people who take the eggshells and then put them back in the carton.
Well,
And you store your empty eggshells alongside your fresh eggs in the carton.
I guess you could.
Well, that seems like a great way to get salmonella.
Yeah, I don't...
What are you doing? And then...
Diarrhea.
Apparently, this is something that is done.
And then what's the deal with putting the eggshells in your coffee grinds? In your coffee grounds?
Oh, I've never heard of that. What is that supposed to do? Give me a nice coat?
I don't know if it...
I've heard of putting them in your garden for... If you got tomato plants, eggshells are supposed to be good in the soil. But eggshells in coffee? What would that do?
I don't know. Does it make for some sort of smooth-tasting coffee?
Apparently, the eggshells are alkaline, so it helps neutralize the acidity
bitterness
of coffee,
mellowing
out its flavor.
Mellows out the flavor of coffee by putting it in your coffee... Yeah.
It's also good for, it keeps the coffee grounds down in a campfire coffee. Eggshells are used to help make your coffee taste perfect.
So there you go.
I never heard of that. Putting eggshells, I've never heard of saving eggshells. But this is something that's being done, and you crack open the egg, and then you put the eggshell in the carton along with the eggs that you haven't cracked yet. Someone here is saying, I always put mine back in the carton. It's less mess because of the shell's drip. It stays in the carton and it doesn't get on the counter. Okay.
One way of doing it. Yeah. I mean, I've done that. I've cracked an egg and put it in the carton until I get ready to throw it away.
Really?
Yeah.
I just think I just throw it away immediately. I think of the egg stuff as being something that could kill me.
These eggs are going to kill me.
It's like a hand grenade. I'm not going to mess around with this. Somebody here saying, I was expecting rotten egg smell to emanate from the fridge, but it never did.
I kept waiting for it.
I was so disappointed.
I was so disappointed.
Save the empty shells in the carton because it'll save you time. If your garbage can isn't close by and you don't have a garbage disposal. Well, first of all, I don't think you're supposed to put eggshells in a garbage disposal.
Well, you're not supposed to put anything in the garbage disposal.
That's what a plumber told me once when he came to my house to fix my garbage disposal. He said, what are you putting down there? And as I took a breath to say something,
a little of that. Don't put anything in your garbage disposal. If you want your garbage disposal to work, to be operational, don't use it.
Never put anything down there. You have to put the carton back in the fridge anyway, so why not just toss the shells inside? you have open eggshells in the closed space where you keep all the rest of your food? I'm not okay with this. This seems like you're just asking to get really sick. But they did a poll here, and it's basically 50-50.
Mm.
People say that putting the eggshells back in the carton is the easiest place to put them. 50% saying that, and 50% saying never, that sounds disgusting. I'm very puzzled by this.
You gonna try it in your coffee?
No, I like the acidity of my coffee. Eggshells have salmonella in them. And putting cracked empty shells back in the carton increases the risk of you're going to contaminate the eggs that are in there at the very least, and probably everything else in your fridge. This just seems like
good way to get a case of
Yeah. Yeah. 80,000 illnesses and 30 deaths occur every year due to eggs.
Goodness.
Eggs, our nation's silent killer. A food safety expert saying that consumers need to practice good food safety to reduce your risk of getting sick. So, okay, the food safety guy is on my side here. I feel better about this. I'm not the weirdo. People that put eggshells back in the refrigerator, that would be a deal breaker for me.
Oh, if you were to, yeah. If that's what somebody in your house was doing?
If I was a young single guy.
A young single guy.
And I went to a young lady's house.
And you
and I went to go get eggs.
What
and they
the,
were
what
and,
the what hey, why don't you go make us a couple eggs? Oh, and there's like there's
sounds great, darling.
There's six left and there's mm-hmm. six shells. You're mm-hmm. like, what kind of witchcraft is this?
What's going on?
Is she a witch? She's
what?
A witch, isn't she?
What? Why are there eggshells in with your normal eggs?
I gotta go!
I gotta get out of here! I need an adult!
I need an adult!
Oh, did you stumble upon my eggshell collection?
Why don't you come here and lay in bed with me and with me and my dolls?
Oh, you're a succubus! Oh, no!
I'll do it, though!
Of course I will! What other options do I have?
I'm a complete horn dog.
I've got to have it.
Number two.
Friends, once again, it's time to play the fastest growing quiz sensation in the history of Quad City Radio. Yes, time once again for another thrilling installment of Which One's Florida? Which One's Florida? With your host, Dave Lavora. Oh, thank you, everybody. Thank you. That's wonderful, wonderful applause. You know, as a performer, that's like food to me. Welcome to Which One's Florida?
Damn, damn, damn!
Our returning champion is Darren Pitra. Darren, it says here on the card that you enjoy shadow boxing.
Well, I do, but if I miss a practice, I don't beat myself up about it.
All right, let's take a look at the board here and figure out which one's Florida. I have three stories, Darren. One of them takes place in the peninsula that provides us with so much entertainment.
Florida.
It will be your job to ascertain which of these three stories is, in fact, Florida. We will begin with story number one.
Give it to me.
25-year-old man on Saturday night allegedly pulled a gun on two women because they didn't thank him for holding a door open for them. This happened at a Family Dollar store at 3:15 in the afternoon. Law enforcement responded to a call there at the Family Dollar store after getting a report that a man was pointing a gun at two customers outside of the store.
Is chivalry dead?
When officers arrived, a witness told the police that the man, later identified as Joshua Murray, allegedly pointed a gun at the women for whom he'd held a door open. They told officers that he grew irate after they did not say thank you. When police located him, they found a firearm on him, allegedly, and they arrested him. He allegedly interfered with that arrest. Nobody suffered any injuries. That's story number one, okay?
Okay.
Story number two. Traffic on the turnpike stopped moving for several hours on Monday after a cattle hauler caught fire and dozens of cows blocked the roadway. The hauler's semi-cab began to catch fire on the highway. The driver, a 47-year-old man, pulled the truck over to the turnpike's outside shoulder. He then opened the cattle trailer door, allowing 70 cows to escape the smoke and flames. Local fire department responded and extinguished the fire. No injuries were reported, and the cattle hauler was removed from the scene. The turnpike closed in both directions, and traffic was diverted for nearly 4 hours as officials dealt with the fire and rounded up the cows. That's your second story, okay?
Okay.
And your third story, the final one, in which one's Florida? Police arrested a man they say was caught drunkenly running around a campground with a penguin. Sheriff's department was alerted to the bizarre disturbance at the Warm Slough Campground by a bystander who called in to report that three inebriated men had caught a pelican and were carrying it around the campground.
Okay, so a pelican.
What did I say?
Penguin.
Well, that's
that's even more ridiculous.
That's a better story. No, it's a pelican, not a penguin. Boy, I blew it. Responding officers gave the three men a warning for harassing the bird, which is protected by the Migratory Bird Treaty Act.
Right.
Two of the men began shouting and then flipping off the officers. Police said one of the men was causing a disturbance with the families and kids on the edge of a river. That man was arrested after grabbing for an officer's vest, resulting in charges of misdemeanor, disturbing the peace, and resisting or obstructing officers. We don't know if that was the same man who was holding the pelican. So now, Darren, you've got your three stories here. Guy pulls a gun on women who didn't thank him for holding a door open at a Family Dollar store. Cows block the turnpike, and man arrested for drunkenly running around a campground with a pelican. I'm going to put 30 seconds on the clock, give you some time to really think this over. Which one is Florida?
What could it be? What could it be? I have my answer.
Okay, he's locked it in. And Darren, your answer is?
Give me the pelican.
The pelican story, and... Oh. Boy, that's what I would have gone with too, Darren. No, it was the cows who blocked the Florida Turnpike in St. Cloud, Florida, earlier this week.
That's hard cheese.
Yeah, this happened just south of Orlando, according to the Florida Highway Patrol and their news release. Well, we don't have a take-home, any prizes for you to take home. You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
You get nothing. You lose. You lose.
But give him a hand, ladies and gentlemen. He was terrific. This has been...
I had a good time.
Did you? This has been...
It's just something people say.
Which one's Florida? Let's give everybody a big radio kiss. And thanks for listening. Which One's Florida is a Mark Goodson radio production. Dave Lavora's Wardrobe by Botany 500. It's actually not true. I'm wearing my Mr. Pibb t-shirt today.
Well, hello, Mr. Pibb.
Thank you. Bring back the original Mr. Pibb, you cowards. This Pibb extra nonsense. You know, Coca-Cola Company, you very famously changed the recipe and went back to the classic Coca-Cola. Uh-huh. I don't know why they can't do it with Mr. Pibb. Oh, it really grinds my gears.
As it should.
Number three.
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 I don't know what every other morning show in the world is talking about this morning, but I have a good feeling they're all going on and on about Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck getting married. By the way, I have to share this with you. Radio in Tampa is horrible.
It's horrible everywhere.
No, it's bad everywhere. It's next level bad in Tampa.
Okay.
Oh, God. We don't know how good we have it here. I'm telling you.
You don't know how good you got it.
You got it. Good.
Oh, you got it.
It was, oh God, it was unlistenable. And not even like in a fun way. You know, there's nothing I love more than bad radio. Mm. It just was just it's not a good scene, man. Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez are married now.
They're clearly mental patients. Or need to be. What are you doing?
You don't think this is going to last? You don't feel like...
Go get some help. Good Lord.
They got engaged like 20 years ago. And now they got married, apparently at one of those drive-through chapels in Vegas.
Marvelous.
The ceremony was super, super small. They just wanted to be married, so they got married. That's what a source tells People magazine.
And they have to act like they're 20 years old. What are they, 60, 70?
No.
60?
They're 50s. They're in their 50s.
They're collectively 120. Okay?
Okay, Chachi.
Okay. No one cares. No one cares about your big ring. As a matter of fact, you might want to have that checked.
She says, last night we flew to Vegas, stood in line for a license with four other couples, all making the same journey to the wedding capital of the world. Behind us, two men held hands and held each other. In front of us, a young couple who made the three-hour drive from Victoriaville on their daughter's second birthday.
No one gives a fart about it, okay? Good Lord.
I'll kill you.
What? Dumb.
All of us wanting the same thing, for the world to recognize us as partners and to declare our love to the world.
Fine. I recognize you. Go away.
Through the ancient and nearly universal symbol of marriage. Yeah, Ben Affleck's not even 50 yet. He's 49. And she's 52. So they're fine.
Yeah, prime of life.
They first got engaged 20 years ago before they called off their wedding and breaking up in 2004. Then they got back together after both of them were married to other people. Between them, they have five kids from a bunch of different marriages. All the kids are between the ages of 10 and 16. Lopez says that the kids were at the wedding. So that's nice. You can't be happy for these two, huh?
Ridiculous.
You're not thrilled? I think I read that she's changing her name to Jennifer Affleck. Which, his last
When do we get Geely 2, or what was it called?
It was called Geely. Yeah, I don't know that they're going to do that. But maybe they should. Her changing her name to Jennifer Affleck, is that a shot at his last wife whose name was Jennifer?
Why not?
She wouldn't change her name, but I will. What do you think of that?
Mm.
Well, I wish him nothing but the best. Darren is not as thrilled.
Listen, it doesn't matter what I wish him. It'll work out the way it works out, okay?
In the Instagram post here, she says, I've had this dress for so many years. And I've just been
saving it. Oh, and I can still fit in it.
Saving it, and now I'm wearing it on my wedding day. It's your fourth wedding day.
Yeah, it's what's with the white, sister?
Well, she looks beautiful. I don't know why you can't be happy.
Blood red is what it should be.
She changed into a high fashion stop and stare Zulher Murad bridal gown at Vegas's Little White Wedding Chapel.
I don't know what that means.
Lopez wore a white lace off-the-shoulder design featuring long sleeves, a sweetheart neckline, corset bodice, and fishtail train. She added a matching veil with lace trim to complete her look. As for glam, Lopez rocked her signature bronzy glow, soft smoky eye, and a peachy nude lip, which she paired with voluminous bouncy curls.
Mr. Affleck wore a dumb look on his face.
It says Affleck wore a white tuxedo jacket he pulled out of his closet.
Mm.
I guess I'll wear this.
Okay, whatever. I wore this in one of the oceans, I guess. Which ocean was I in? Was he in any of those?
I don't think he's in any of the ocean movies.
He doesn't know either.
I think that's his brother Casey Affleck that's in those movies.
Okay.
She wanted to thank the Little White Wedding Chapel for, quote, letting me use the break room to change while Ben changed in the men's room.
Why don't you just show up dressed, okay?
How hard is that to do?
How hard is that to just show up somewhere with your clothes already on? Or do
they look happy. Well, she looks happy. He looks like he's had a couple of drinks.
Who's going to help me tape my boobs down?
Oh, well.
Ben, do you have a concussion? What's with these eyes? Your pupils don't look right.
He does look a little dazed here.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does look like he got hit in the back of the head with a hammer.
Constantly.
Yeah, well, that is...
It's like him
he's made a good living.
Him and Matt Damon are just constantly like boinking heads.
Like rams?
Like rams.
On a mountainside.
Uh-huh.
Apparently this costume is similar to the couture, the gown that she wore in her recent romantic comedy, Marry Me. It's a Lebanese fashion designer who gives her show-stopping red carpet looks.
Oh, a ploy. No one will notice. It's just a marvelous story. That's my take.
Jennifer Lopez writing in her On the J-Lo newsletter, quote, "So with the best witnesses you could ever imagine, a dress from an old movie, and a jacket from Ben's closet, we read our own vows in the little chapel and gave one another the rings we'll wear for the rest of our lives. They even had Bluetooth for a short march down the aisle. But in the end, it was the best possible wedding we could have imagined. One we dreamed of long ago, and one made real in the eyes of the state, Las Vegas, a pink convertible, and one another at very, very long last." Good for them. That's it's terrific.
Oh, here we go.
I think you're both lunatics. Love fades.
Oh, now, Darren.
Bet me.
I think this one's going to last.
Uh-huh.
I'm a sucker for this stuff. I think that these two are going to stick it out.
Someone's going to end up falling down some stairs.
Number four.
Four.
Four. Four.
Oh, this is sad news, Darren.
Bum, bum, bum. Bum, 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 bum. And another one gone, and another one gone. Another one bites the dust. Hey, he's gonna get you too. Another one bites the dust.
Mickey Rooney Jr. is dead. Mickey Rooney Jr., 77 years old.
Really?
Uh-huh. He was the first of Mickey Rooney's 9 children. Mickey Rooney Jr.'s longtime companion, Chrissy Brown, confirming the news, died from unknown causes at his home in Glendale, Arizona. He was an original Mouseketeer who appeared on the Mickey Mouse Club in 1955.
You don't have an inkling as to what happened?
Alongside his brother, Tim.
Wonder how they got that job.
Well.
Now, how does this affect Mickey Rooney's potato fantasy? Or what's it called?
That's it, Mickey Rooney's potato fantasy. Paul Peterson was a Mickey Mouse Club castmate, and he wrote a tribute to Mickey Rooney Jr. saying, quote, "I first met Mickey, the oldest of 9 siblings sired by his famous father, when he and Timmy were hired by Disney to be Mouseketeers in 1955.
God, that's a lot of kids.
Mickey Jr. was tall and talented. He could sing, dance, and act, and get in trouble. We 3 were all fired for conduct unbecoming a mouse." He then goes on in this loving tribute to say, "Mickey Rooney Jr. was the personification of damaged goods. He gave all he could."
Damn you, Daddy, sir.
That's exactly what this is. "He gave all he could. I was born on the same day as Mickey's father, and the Mick gave me, unsolicited, mind you, the most useful advice I ever got. It's one of my greatest sorrows that he didn't do the same for his son. Mickey Rooney Jr., rest in peace at last. Well, what was the advice?
Yeah, what was the advice?
That's between me and Mickey Rooney Sr. How dare you? Mind your business. Mickey Rooney was not a good dad. That's what I want to drive home. And Mickey Rooney Jr. and I, we were damaged goods. They were backup cast members, by the way, the Rooney boys. They worked on a handful of episodes.
Not first string mice.
They worked on a handful of episodes before they were fired over mischief in the Disney paint department.
Oh, God.
What are you guys doing in the paint department? Worth pointing out that Mickey Rooney Jr. was actually the third. He was born Joseph Ewell III, because Mickey Rooney's real name is Joseph Ewell Jr.
Mm.
So he's a junior who was, in fact, a third. Wrap your head around that. His mother was Betty Jane Baker, a singer and winner of the 1944 Miss Alabama Beauty Pageant.
I was more mouse than man. And I used my famous father as an excuse for everything.
Mickey Rooney Jr. would record songs in the 60s, including The Wandering Mind, The Choice Is Yours, and It Certainly Ain't a Nice Thing. He performed all of these on the ABC music show Shindig. Played with his brothers Tim and Teddy, as well as with a young Willie Nelson.
Huh.
Huh.
Wasn't Willie Nelson at that tender age a talent scout?
I think you're right.
Or like an agent? Mickey, was he part of a young Willie Nelson's talent stable?
Must have been. In 1972, Mickey Rooney Jr. married Mercy Montello, a Playboy playmate.
Mm.
Then he divorced her and married someone else, and then that didn't work out, and he was with his longtime companion, who says he was a wonderful man. But yeah, Paul Peterson wants you to know, I have the same birthday as Mickey Rooney. He gave me great advice, but he couldn't give it to his own son.
Mickey Rooney's great advice was never use a condom. You'll thank me.
Consider yourself zinger.
The zing of the day.
How many times was Mickey Rooney married?
We're talking about nine kids. Is this nine kids? Nine kids with just one woman?
No.
What about the other women?
I think when Mickey Rooney met this beauty pageant winner in 1944, I think he had already been married, right? Because his first wife was Ava Gardner.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
See, if it's me, I would hold on to the Ava Gardner.
She was slumming, wasn't she?
In 1942? Yeah. Yeah, how did that work out? Then he was married to Betty Jane Phillips. Then he was married to Martha Vickers. Then Elaine Dervey. Then Barbara Ann Thompson. Then Marge Lane. Then Carolyn Hockett. And then finally, Jan Chamberlain.
What a maniac.
Makes you wonder. Mickey Rooney's advice was, Paul, I need money for my potato restaurant.
Can you help a brother out?
Paul, I don't trust my sons. They're not good with paint. But you... Mickey Rooney's potato fantasy.
Yeah.
Off Riverside Drive between Fulton and Coldwater.
Free handshakes for military.
Free handshakes for seniors and veterans. Live drumming Sunday nights.
Live drumming.
Free bread with orders over $5.
And when the place caught on fire, he grabbed the cash register and left.
Knocked over a waitress on his way out the door. Mickey is very excited about his all-new restaurant. What a great country, Mickey says, where a fella can offer up hot spuds to whoever wants to eat them. Kapow! And here at Mickey Rooney's Potato Fantasy Family Restaurant, Mickey does just that. He scores great potato dishes. He serves great potato dishes at great potato prices to great potato families like yours. You don't have to bring anyone. Come in by yourself, says Mickey, and we'll talk about me. When you're at Mickey Rooney's Potato Fantasy, try the Grand Royale. It's 3 pounds of potatoes for just $1.29.
Seems like a lot.
For the portion lover in all of us, it includes one Idaho russet, baked French fried scalloped and mashed potatoes. No substitutions. At Mickey Rooney's Potato Fantasy Family Restaurant, we serve potatoes every way Mickey likes them. Baked potatoes, boiled potatoes, French fried, mashed, au gratin, potato chips, potato salad, and potato shakes. Mick says, try them. So great. Oh, I want that to be true so badly.
Yeah, you can't have everything.
Mm-hmm. We're right back with more. This is, I think, tells you everything you know about Mickey Rooney.
Mm-hmm.
He was still making movies and wacky investments when he, right up to the end.
Yeah.
When Mickey Rooney was 93 years old, he appeared in the Night at the Museum movie. All right? They gave him a check to be a night in the museum. They gave Mickey Rooney $250,000.
At that point, he was 98% dandruff and 2% Mickey Rooney.
He's $93,000. He's in the Night in the Museum movie. They cut him a check for $250,000.
Uh-huh.
He dies 3 weeks later. There was $18,000 in his bank account.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. He had 9 kids to feed. This is suggesting here that he actually had 11 children.
Mm-hmm.
8 wives and 11 children.
At the end, he was more psoriasis than man.
In the 80s, he was making $75,000 a week for 5 years on the Broadway hit Sugar Babies.
But which you helped finance.
I didn't see Sugar Babies.
Oh, you didn't? You saw Guys and Dolls.
No, I saw Mickey Rooney do Mickey Rooney's A Christmas Carol.
Oh.
He was playing...
He played every character?
It was something else.
Mickey Rooney's one-man tribute to Mickey Rooney.
Now, the Mickey Rooney potato fantasy, that's not a real thing.
Unfortunately.
But he did have, he came up with something called Mickey's Two-Ball of Golf Chair, which was an indoor golf game. He also had a line of men's spray-on hair. Mickey Rooney's Lovely Lady Cosmetics. He had a disposable underpants he called rip-offs, and a disposable bra he called tip-offs. Mickey Rooney's Weenie World was a thing that he did. There were 52 different locations.
Uh-huh.
And the gimmick of Mickey Rooney's Weenie World was that the hot dogs were round. You were eating hot dogs that looked like...
Hamburgers?
Hamburgers. Mickey Rooney's Weenie World. 52 restaurants.
Where, if you were old enough, if you were of age, you could sit on his lap and he would punch you in your sack.
I'm looking here at a picture of Lee Liberace enjoying corn on the cob at Mickey Rooney's restaurant.
It's hard to...
I've got a lot of questions.
It's hard to figure out what is fact and what's fiction.
I know it, right?
Number five.
I have a quick somebody wondering if they're in the wrong.
Okay.
That I wanted to share.
Sure,
with you.
Absolutely.
This is somebody who's having an issue in their private life, and they've made it public by asking a subreddit, hey, am I a jerk here? That's not the name of the subreddit. I digress. Am I a jerk for refusing to let my husband's mom nap in my room?
Yeah, I can see where you wouldn't want that.
My husband's mom moved in with us a week ago.
Oh, actually moved in. So then she has her own room.
The minute we were informed she was going to move in temporarily till her house gets renovated, we emptied a room specifically for her.
Makes sense.
It has everything. A bed with a frame, curtains, mounted TV, closet. She was thrilled with it and loved it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
One day I came home, found her in my bedroom, sleeping in mine and my husband's bed.
No.
I was confused, but she told me she took a nap on the bed and just lost track of time. Since then, she started talking about how she loved taking a nap there and started hinting that she'd like to take naps in my bedroom from now on. I kept ignoring her comments until my husband sat me down and told me that his mom really liked and was getting used to napping in our bedroom, and we should just let her have her daily afternoon nap in our room. I said, absolutely not. We started debating, and I told him his mom was being ridiculous because she has a whole room upstairs where she should nap.
Of course.
He got upset and said I was making his mom feel uncomfortable and unwelcome with this attitude.
I'm uncomfortable.
I said no, and I refused to negotiate. He called me selfish and mean for saying no and preventing his mom from feeling comfortable at his house. I reminded him that I'm the one paying the full mortgage on the house.
There you go.
While while he blows money over gadgets and consoles. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
He accused me of bringing up old disagreements in this current conflict to use against him. I said no again and that he should stop pushing because I need the room for when I get home feeling exhausted from working on my feet.
Yeah.
Starting at 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, now he's refusing to speak to me until I agree to let his mom have her nap in there. Am I a jerk here for choosing this hill to die on, as he says? Am I the one being difficult?
What you need to do is change the locks.
You need to change your husband. That's what you need to change.
I had a roommate in college first year. I had a turntable up there and my albums. And I didn't mind if he wanted to use the turntable and play an album.
Sure.
Sure, why not? You go right ahead.
Right.
But one day I came back from class. He's laying in my bed. Not on my bed, in my bed, under the covers.
Tucked in?
Tucked in, listening to an Alan Parsons record.
Oh, wow.
I still didn't have a problem with him listening to the Alan Parsons album.
No.
But what are you doing in my bed? Under my covers.
It would be one thing.
It would be one thing if he was even laying on top of my bed.
Right. Listen.
Because
Alan Parsons is going to make anybody sleepy.
The turntable was near my bed, so that I get. Uh-huh. I could see where you might just all of a sudden just lay down and start looking at the album and reading the liner notes and whatever.
Sure.
Fine.
Sure.
But actually getting under the covers and like sleeping and like laying on your side?
No. There's a whole lot that's wrong with that one.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
Tucked in with a little nightcap on.
Yeah.
Warm milk on the bedside.
Just looking at the album.
One more.
So I sympathize.
One more. This is a different. So this woman is not in the wrong. She's
You've
not.
You've got
a
your room. If that's not good enough.
Yeah.
Go sleep on the porch.
Right. I'm the one paying the mortgage while your idiot son blows money on gadgets and consoles. I will be...
I don't even know what that means.
Like PlayStations and stuff.
Oh, those kind of consoles.
One more. Am I a jerk for refusing to play rough or wrestle with my husband? I've been with my husband for 5 years, and to put it nicely, he is a giant baby. That's putting it nicely,
Yeah.
Been with my husband for 5 years, and to put it nicely, he is a giant baby. This is not me bashing him. It's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
He will often start a tickling play wrestling match, and if I do to him what he is doing to me, he'll start whining and tell me to stop. He gets hurt insanely easy.
God almighty.
Though I can sit here and say that it is 100% an act, And I've called him out on it several times. Like, I poked him in the thigh one day during a play wrestling match. And he just about cried and told me to stop. So I just walked away. And he follows me, still trying to mess with me. And I flip out and tell him never again. Because he fakes being hurt to get me to stop. And will continue to mess with me. And it's annoying as hell. Well, when I said this to him, he laughed. So yeah, I know he's faking it. Which just makes me even more angry. Well, 2 days ago, he starts in on me, and all I did was reach down and squeeze his leg. Not even that hard, because I just did my nails and I don't want to mess them up. He then immediately starts yelling, "Stop!" So I do, and then he leans forward and headbutts the wall on accident and actually hurts himself and made me feel like it was my fault.
Oh my God.
Holding his head, whining, etc. Won't talk to me, won't let me see it. Just swearing and acting foolish while holding his head and gasping like he was fighting for air. This really played out and overdramatic, considering he didn't hit his head that hard at all. So I just walk away because, honestly, I'm disgusted by this behavior at this point. So last night, he starts messing with me again, and I immediately push him away and tell him not to touch me. And I told him I would never play wrestle with him again, because I'm tired of him playing the I'm so wounded, pity me, and hold me like a baby card. It's a massive turnoff, and I'm all set. He says I'm a jerk because this is our thing, and that I'm being overdramatic, and can't believe I would make him feel like this for being easily wounded. So am I the jerk here?
This world doesn't stand a chance, does it?
No, we're done. We're done.
Just, well... I wouldn't say it was a good ride, but it was something.
It was a ride.
It was something.
Things happened.
You got to give us that.
A bunch of stuff happened.
Yeah.
Not all of it was great.
No.
Most of it not.
Things go wrong. Things go wrong.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
Well, that was certainly a journey.
Huh.
What a bunch of...
All kinds of twists and turns.
Oh, my gosh. So much hilarity and mirth, and I learned a lot, too.
Gonna need some Dramamine.
Well, let's get you some of that. That's gonna do it for Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. Thanks for listening, subscribing, and leaving reviews. Until we get a chance to give you another one of these, hang loose, kooks.
You stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Art Linkletter. Thanks for listening.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.